Today's shir is Masechta, Tainus, Daf Yud Daled. We will begin on Daf Yud Daled, Amud Aleph, 16 lines from the top. As we have been learning in the Mishnayos, discussed it as recently as yesterday's shir, we discussed that there are, when there's a situation where there's no fast, when there's no rain, they decree three Tanesim, three sets of Tanesim. First three Tanesim, then another three, and then seven. Says the Gemara Tani Chada, we learned the one price, Ubris, Umenaikis, Misanis, Purishinus. They only fast on the first set of fast days, women who are pregnant, women who are nursing, Vein, Misanis, Bachroinus. But they don't fast on the last set of Tanesim. But Tani Yidach, but then we learned another price, Misanis, Bachroinus. They fast on the last set, Vein, Misanis, Purishinus, but they don't fast on the first set. B'tan Yidach, and then says the Gemara, there's a third Braisa. And the third Braisa says, Eimasanis loy berishonis loy bachroinis. And obviously, when we learn these three Braisas, they are contradictory. Which is the correct Braisa? Answers the Gemara, Amar of Ashi. Says Rav Ashi, the way to understand the halacha is nekait emtsios biyotcha, except that they fast during the middle set of Tanesim. And if we will accept that they fast during the middle set of Tanesim, we will be able to resolve all three brises. The brisa that says that they fast, the first brisa that we learned that says that they fast in the first set, is referring to the middle set, which is considered prior to the last set. The second brisa that says that they fast in the last and not in the first, is also referring to the middle set, and it's considered last in relative to the first, because it comes after the first. The last brisa that they says that they don't fast not in the first and not in the and the last also is understandable, is that they fast in the middle one, which is not the first and not the last. And the reason why that is the halacha is because the first fast, it's not that much of a problem yet. They haven't really. It's only when the rain has only now begun not to come. But it's not that obvious that it's not that we have a serious problem. The last set of fast days, because it's such a long set of fast days, as we just said before, it's a series of seven Tanesim. So since it's a series of seven Tanesim, that's why it also is too long of a period that they should have to fast. So the middle set is the set where the halacha tells us that even though they're obris menikos, even though they're nursing, etc., the nursing and pregnant and they're weak, we should fast in the middle set. Says the Gemara, Ma Elu. We learned in the Mishnah, Ma Elu, Yuseiris al Rishinus. In what way is the last set of fast days more serious than the first set? El Shiva Elim Masriyim. In the last set, they do Masriyim and Noilin Chanuyos, they close the stores. But we have not been able to explain, what Masriyim means. And the Gemara, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, now begins to discuss what is the definition of Masriyim. But my Masriyim, ask the Gemara, what is the definition of Masriyim? Says Rav Yehuda, I'm a b'shoifers, that as we discussed in our previous shir, in these Tanesim, we add six brachas to the Shmon Esrei, and during those six brachas, every time we add a bracha, we also blow a tekiah, true tekiah. Rav Yehuda b'rei de Shmuel b'ashel sh'shmei de Rav Oma b'aneinu. It doesn't really have to do anything with blowing the shofar, but rather, at the end of the tzlichas, they say, Aneinu, Aneinu, Avinu Malkeinu, Aneinu, Bereinu, Aneinu, and they add this tefillah of Aneinu when they daven on the fast day. Says the Gemara, Kusal Kedatach, Man Damim B'Aneinu, the Gemara assumes that the machloikas that was just quoted in the Gemara is like every typical machloikis that we have in Shas.
The mandam abaneinu, the mandam that says that the definition of masriyin means that we add the aneinu, loy am b'shayfris, will not hold that we blow the shayfer. And on the other hand, mandam b'shayfris, the mandam that says that it means shayfris, loy am vaneinu, will not agree that would blow aneinu. Says the Gemara, how could there be an opinion that holds that you don't blow? How could there be a man the Amar that doesn't hold that you blow the shofar? For Tanya, we learned in the Brisa says, Ein pachs in shevetanis al tzibur. We don't have a minimum. They're always going to be in this last set, seven tanaisim, shebehen, and during that time, shemayna esra esraos, we blow 18 times. Because as we learned in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, the proper way of blowing the shofar is the proper way of blowing the shofar is midaraisis tekiya teruah tekiya. So if we do that for six brachas, six times three equal 18. For similar dava, and the way to remember how to do so is yirichai. When Klai Yisrael in the time of Yeshua, as they entered at Yisrael, the first city that they entered was yirichai, and they blew, and this whole system was that they blew the shofar. So we see yirichai b'shofar's hava. So how could tiyufta l'man d'amar? How could there be any man d'amar that says that we only blow the shofar? We only that misri means aneinu. Ella says the gemara b'shofar's like kulam le'pligi, the kar le'asra. Everybody agrees that blowing the shofar is what is meant when it says the word hasra. Ki pligi banenu. The question is, if by saying anenu, have we also fulfilled that obligation? Marsov, Rav holds karle hasra, that saying anenu is also considered hasra. Or Marsov, whereas Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is, like karle hasra, shofris is hasra, anything else is not considered hasra. Laman da Omar banenu, says the Gemara, according to Rav that says Masrin is by Anenu, Koshkein b'shofris. You could certainly blow a shofar to fulfill this obligation. Well, the man da Amar b'shofris, but the man da Amar that says that you have to, that it means shofris, says the Gemara, that is your only option. Avla Anenu, just saying Anenu is not considered adequate to fulfill the obligation. Loi, it's not considered satisfactory to be considered to fulfill that obligation. Of course, the Zman Hazeh, we don't see that anybody blows the shofar by a tinus. And actually, the Magen Avraham in Siman Tuf Kuf Ayin Vav asked this question, and the Maruk Tzir from the Yaivitz answers that the halacha of Chatzaitris, the halacha of blowing shofars, only applies in Eretz Yisrael. As the pasuk which introduces the halacha blowing says, "V'chisuvoy melchama ba'artzchem." Moreover, the Maruk Tzir says that the mitzvah of blowing the shofar must be conducted by kohanim, and the kohanim that we have as Zman Hazeh are not kohanim that we know for certain are really kohanim. And moreover, the chatzaitris have to be chatzaitris that belong to the hegdish. They have to be chatzaitris that belong to the Beis HaMikdash, which also is something that we don't have b'zman hazeh. And because we don't have all of these conditions, we can't fulfill all these conditions, the halacha is, well, b'zman hazeh, we don't blow shofar. But I did see that the Sefer Daf al-Daf brings from the Encyclopedia Talmudis that there were times in Yerushalayim when they decreed a fast day because of different situations that Klai Yisrael were facing, and that they did blow shofar. They said that part of what they should do on those fast days is blow the shofar because what they were experiencing tzaris. Ask the Gemara, how could Rav suggest that anenu is the way to fulfill shofaris? For Tanya, haven't we learned in the Braisa? The Braisa speaks about the Shakam Prianius Hamasrakshus, different types of calamities that Klai Yisrael suffer. Kigoin Chichuch, there's a disease that everybody has the constant need to
scratch themselves. Chagav, there's an invasion of grasshoppers. Zvuv, etzira, different types of insects. V'yitushin, shiluach, nechosh, v'akrabim. If there's an epidemic of snakes and scorpions, loy masriyin, they didn't blow do hasra el tzayakim. So what the Gemara here clearly, the Braisa is clearly differentiating between tzok and hasra. Mid the tzoka bepeh, and isn't the Braisa teaching us that tzoka is done by tefillah, by davening, and hasra is b'shoifres? So how, ask the Gemara, could you suggest that we don't do that? Hasra means tefillah. Answers the Gemara, indeed, this price is clearly an indication that Asra means with a shofar. But says the Gemara Tanoihi, this is actually Machloikus Tanoim. The Tanya, Al Eilim Asriin B'Shabbos, for the following situations, we do Asra B'Shabbos. Al Eir Shikafu Gaius, a city that was surrounded by an army, a Nohor or a river, Asrina Hamatarefes, Svina Materefes Biyam, or a ship that's in danger at sea. The only time we could do this is because it was blowing the shofar in order to gather together the people. But we don't do it by tefillah. But my Ilayim b'shofaris, what does this mean? Does it mean that the Brice is teaching us that we don't blow the shofar in Shabbos? Ask the Gemara. B'shoifres mishari, is there any question that we could blow the shofar on Shabbos? El lav, what does it of course mean? Baneinu, and we see the karle hasra, and the Gemara is saying that we don't do this on Shabbos, and we see davening is considered hasra, and that's the opinion Rav says that I was following when I said that hasra means what tefillas aneinu. So we have here machloikis, the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi, if we're allowed to daven on Shabbos because of these different situations. And Rashi explains why not. So Rashi explains, because we're not certain that our tefillah will be helpful. And since we're not certain that our tefillah will be helpful, that's why we have no right to do so on Shabbos. The Rambam holds, we're allowed to be mespal, but we're not allowed to blow shofar. Because, says the Magen Mishnah, that the Rambam passes like the Tanakama, and that the Tanakama's opinion was the Masriyim Bepeh B'Shabbos, we're not allowed to blow the shofar, but we're allowed to daven on Shabbos. And the Torah points out that we have here a fundamental machloikus, Rashi and the Rambam. Rashi's opinion is that on Shabbos we're not allowed to add, if there's a situation in Klal Yisrael, on Shabbos, according to Rashi, we're not allowed to add these tefillahs because we're not certain our tefillah will be helpful. According to Rambam, we may do so. So ask the Maram Shik that why is Rashi paskening that we're not allowed to daven on Shabbos because we are not certain our tefillah will be helpful? Isn't there a rule, which we've discussed, that sofik b'kuach nefesh doich Shabbos, that even when it's just a sofik of what we're going to do will be helpful, we're allowed to be mechal Shabbos? So yes, Rashi is saying we cannot be certain that our tefillah will be helpful, but it's a sofik, and for a sofik we're allowed to be mechal Shabbos. So the Shalos HaTshuvos, Yehuda Yala from Yehuda Osud, says that Rashi means, if of course, does not mean davening. Davening, a Jew is always allowed to daven, and certainly it's no worse than davening, that doing anything in a situation of sekanas nefashos. Rashi is referring here by calling people to help, and unless we can be sure that the people can help, if there's no, then we don't call them. But that is also difficult, because even if there's just a suffix by calling these people, if they will be helpful, the halacha is we're allowed to do so on Shabbos. So the Shalos HaTshuvos Yehuda Yala makes a very fundamental nafkamina. He says, this is an Or HaChaim Siman Kuf Pei Gimel. He says, when we speak about being allowed to do a refuah on Shabbos when there's a need, the halacha differentiates between a refuah tivis and a refuah skulis. We're allowed to do a refuah, which is considered a way to heal people. And even if we can't be certain that it will be effective, the halacha allows us to do this on Shabbos. Because, as we just said, sofik nefashos is doiche Shabbos. But
if it's a situation of a refuah skulis, it's not a natural medical type of remedy. It's only a refuah skulis, the halacha is such may not be done on Shabbos. And davening is not in the category of refuah tivis. It's not a medical tefillah, and therefore it may not be done. Rashi says, according to Tanna Kamma, it may not be done on Shabbos. Interestingly, there's a tshuva in the Marsham from the Berjana Rav. He discusses a situation where there was somebody, unfortunately, who wasn't well, and the question was, could they send a telegram on Shabbos, obviously involving Chil Shabbos, to a Godel B'Yisrael to daven on behalf of this individual? And the Marsham quotes that such a situation came up in the town of Brod in Poland, when Rav Shlomo Kluger was the dayan in that city, and it was the Rav in that city, and there was a dayan in the city who permitted it. And Rav Shlomo Kluger wanted to remove the dayan from his position, because as we just learned, even though when there's a situation of pikuach nefesh, we're allowed to be mechal Shabbos, but that's only in a situation where it's a refuah tivis, where it's a natural type of refuah, not a refuah skulis. As I heard the story, what happened was the Rav, the tzaddik to whom this telegram was sent, was upset that the telegram was sent involving Chil Shabbos. But now he said, I have to be mespalel and make sure that this person for who was ill and that I was asked to be mespalel for should get well. Because if he won't get well, it'll turn out that there was Chil Shabbos. If, however, he, Baruch Shem, will have refuah shleima, then it turns out there was no Chil Shabbos. Our Mishnah discussed the various tanesim, and the Gemara discusses those tanesim further. It says, Rabbi Shneider, Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, in the time of Rabbi Yehuda the Nasi, Havitzara, there was, Klai Yisrael was suffering, the Gaza Talas Esrei Tanais. Rabbi Yehuda the Nasi decreed 13 tanesim, and they still were not answered. So he wanted to make more tanesim. So Rav Ami told him, Harei Amru, Chazal said, here the Gemara introduces the concept of Tircha de Tzibura. And instituting more than 13 tanesim would represent the Tircha de Tzibura, which he said is not allowed to do. Amr of Abba Breder, Chibar Abba, Rav Ami the Ovid, Rav Abi, who said that we shouldn't decree more than 13 tanesim, legar mehu David. He didn't want to fast, and because he didn't want to fast, he told Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya this rule. Elohach Amar Rabbi Chibar Abi, he says, Rabbi Chibar Abi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, lo shana ela gishamim. We don't institute more than 13 tanesim when the fast is because of a lack of rain. Avel shamin apronius, if Klai Yisrael is suffering other types of situations, misanim vaholchim, they continue to fast until they answer from the Shemayim. So again, Rashi explains that what Rav Ami said was because he didn't want to fast more than 13 tanesim, and that's why he did so. Rabbeinu Gershom says that what Gemara means, Lagarmehu the Ovid, means that this was his own opinion, but we're quoting Rabbi Yochanan. He said, but that actually wasn't the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan held you keep on fasting until you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hears our tefillah. Tanya Nami, Hachik Shamer Shloish, where he said the three Tanias, and the two first sets of three Tanaisim, Shamer Sheva, and then the last set is seven fast days, Loi Amru Elo L'Gishamim. That was only if there's a drought. Avul Shamini Pronius, if Klal Yisrael is Chasar Sharm suffering other calamities, Mesan of Ahoch Machianu, they keep on fasting until HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears our tefillah. Says the Gemara, so this clearly is a refutation what Rav Ami said, that we never fast more than 13 tanesim. Answers the Gemara, Amalach Rav Ami, Tanoihi. This question, if we decree more than 13 tanesim, is actually Machlokes Tanoim. The Tanya, Ein Goyzim Yosem Shloish Asu Tanis Al Atzibur, Lefish Ein Matrichen Es Atzibur Yosem Midai, and 13 is more than they could deal with. Divrei Rebbe, Rav Shimon Gamliel, Loim Hashem Azeh, that's not the reason that they don't decree more than 13 Tanesim. El Neyotzus Manashal Reviya. If you started fasting the 13 Tanesim from when, as we learned, we begin fasting, by the time you finish fasting the 13 Tanesim, it's already past the rainy season. And therefore, there's no point in making any more fast days. So according to the Tanakhama, we never make more than 13 Tanesim because it's a concern of Tircha de Tzibura. According to Shimon Gamliel, it's strictly by rain where there's no point in continuing to fast. But everywhere else, we do fast. Says the Gemara, we know that we start and 7 days in Cheshvan in Eretz Yisrael, 60 days after the Tekufa in Chutz Laretz, in the Bracha Baruch Aleinu, to say the same Talmatel of Racha. The Gemara begins now a discussion, places that need rain in the summer. What should they do? Sholchalei B'nai Ninveh. The people who live to B'nai Ninveh asked Rebbe the following question. Kigoy Anan. People such as us, that feel about Kufas Tevis being the Mitra, we, Tamas, that we, even during the summer, need rain. Heichi Neved, what should we do? Ki Yechidim Daminim? Are we considered like Yechidim? Or Karabim Daminim? And the Gemara explains itself. Ki Yechidim Daminim, and we say it B'Shemei Tefillah, that if somebody has a Bakasha that he needs something, he says it by Shemei Tefillah. Or Karabim Daminim, are we considered like the rabbim, and we say it beberchas hashanim, like we all say the same talamater? So, the Meiri and the Ran ask a question. They say the man the amid that holds that ki yichid dami, that and therefore just like when a yochid has a request, he says it by shemei tefillah. That's why here too the people of Ninveh should say it by shemei tefillah. So ask the Ran and the Meiri. The Gemara, Masech Avodah Zarah, Daf Chesam and Aleph, teaches us that not only by Shemei Tefillah can somebody insert a tefillah for whatever situation that he's facing, but every bracha, a person can insert a tefillah in that bracha relative to what he needs. That means if somebody, Rachman Slan, has in his home somebody who's not well, so he davens for him by Rifa'enu. And if somebody needs panasa, he davens by Baruch Aleinu. So even if we'll say that the people of Ninveh are considered like Yechidim, why can't they ask for rain in Birchas Hashanim? It's the place to daven for panasa. So they answer, the Ran and the Meiri both say this teretz, that asking for rain is different than other requests that a person makes during Shemana Esrei. When you ask for something Shemana Esrei, Rachman Tzlan, if somebody is davening for somebody who's not well, he davens in Rifa'enu for that individual, it isn't to the detriment of anyone else. So this person is davening that this person who's not well should have a Rifu Shleima, and he's allowed to be mispowel during Rifa'enu to daven for that. Here, when you daven for rain, so yes, if you live in a place where rain is necessary, you need the rain. But for the other places during the summer, rain is a klala. So something which is a klala for other people, even though it's a bracha for you, you can't say that in Baruch Aleinu. Where could you ask for it? In Shema Kaleinu. And says the Gemara, Sholach Lei, the response was, Kimichidim Damisu, you're considered like individuals, and you say it in Shemei Tefillah. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, Amr Yehuda, we learned in the Braisa, Emesai, when do we have the 13 Tanesim? Bizman, Shegishanim Ketekunam, that everything is going according to the proper order. Yisrael, Shurim Aladmasan, and Klai Yisrael is in Eretz Yisrael, that's when we have this system, the procedure that we've been learning in this Mesechta. Bizman Azeh, that things are not followed the strict order. Hakol Fi Hashana, we take into consideration the year. Sometimes more rain is necessary. Sometimes less rain is necessary. Hakol fiyah kaimos, the different places, and hakol fiyah man. There's some places that the rain already fell, and there's some places that the rain didn't fall. So we see that Baruch Aleinu, davening is Baruch Aleinu, is very much dependent on the time and the place. Not like you, who Rebbe said, when if there's a place that needs Baruch Aleinu, that needs rain, we shouldn't say it by Baruch Aleinu, we should say it by Shemei Tefillah. Amalei, So he responded, Masnisa Ru'amalei, the Rebbe, you're asking from this Braisa on Rebbe? Rebbe Tana Upalad. Rebbe's a Tana, and he has a right to argue. Ask the Gemara, my Havala. So what is the Halacha? If there's a place that needs rain in the summer, what should they do? Rav Nachman, they say it by Berchus Hashanim and Baruch Aleinu. Rav Shesh Soma, they say it by Shemei Tefillah. And that's the halacha, that if you live in a place that you need rain, but it's during the summer when we don't say the same Talmata, you should say it in Shemei Tefillah. The Rosh, however, says that if there's, the Rosh says that the people of Nineveh were a special city, that city, for whatever situation, required rain in the summer. But says the Rosh, if there's an entire region that needs, entire country that needs rain in the summer, says the Rosh, they should indeed say the same Talmater in the summer. The Shulchan Aruch disagrees, and he says that just like Al Gemara says that the people of Nineveh were told to say the same Talmater in Shemei Tefillah, even a country is like that. Even if you have an entire country, they should say the same Talmater in Shema Koleinu. There was a question that the Paiskim discuss. There are different countries in the world, for example, in Brazil, where the seasons are reversed, and our winter is their summer, and vice versa. The question came up, when should they say the same Talmater? So the Sefer Taras Chaim Paskins, that even though the entire region needs rain after Pesach, they should say it in Shemei Tefillah. He also, however, says that since rain during their summer season is detrimental, so they shouldn't say the same Talmater in the winter. Rav Yitzchak Elchanan said that people in Australia also have the winter and the summer in the reverse order from us, should say the same Talmater after Sukkot, as is done in all of Chutz Laretz, even though it's for them the summer, because he says in that country, in Australia, raining in the summer is not detrimental. So even though what is winter by us is summer by them, it doesn't make a difference. It's still considered for them, there's no problem with rain. And since the Shulchan Aruch, as we just said, Paskins, that we should say the same Talmater in the winter. Everyone should say it. So it's appropriate that they should say the same Talmater in the winter. The Paiskim discuss this question, and Rav Shmuel Salant already said that they should say the same Talmater in Shemei Tefillah. So the way it seems is as follows. Everybody seems to be in agreement that they should not say the same Talmater in their winter during, they should not say the same Talmater during their winter in Baruch Aleinu. And presumably, I would imagine that the reason is, as we said earlier, because maybe even though they need rain, but for us, in the rest of the world, it's detrimental, particularly in Eretz Yisrael, if it rains in the summer. And the halach is, like we learned now, the people of Nineveh. If you need rain in a time when not everybody else needs rain, you only say B'Shmei Tefillah. And in terms of saying the same Talmater, it really depends. If it's not detrimental for you to say the same Talmater, rain isn't a problem at that time of the year, so then you should say the same Talmater. If, however, rain in your place is detrimental at that time of the year, then it may be best just not to say anything. There's a tshuva in the Shalos Tshuvos Shevet HaLevi. The question that came to him was from Uruguay, where also the seasons are reversed, and he also said that they shouldn't say the same Talmater during Shemei Tefillah. We learned in the Mishnah that during the last set of Tanaisim, during the last seven Tanaisim, they closed the stores. B'Sheni Matin, says the Gemara, on Mondays they would just open the door slightly in Chashecha towards the end of the fast day. But on Thursday of the fast day, they would keep the store open all day long. Ask the Gemara Bailu, Hechik Tani, ask the Gemara exactly how are we to understand this Mishnah? Is the way to understand the Mishnah, B'Sheni Matin im Chashecha, On the Monday, they open it towards the evening, b'chamishi kol hayom, and on Monday, they don't open the door completely, but they keep it slightly ajar all day long, b'knei kvar Shabbos. Adama b'sheni matan, on Monday, they keep it slightly open towards the end of the day, b'chamishi, and on Thursday, paischen kol hayom kula, they keep it open the entire day. Tashma, says the Gemara, the Tanya, the Braisa says, b'sheni matan at Erev, on Monday, they keep the door open slightly towards the end of the day. They keep the store open completely because of Shabbos. Hoyla shnei pesachim, continues the Braisa to say, let's say you have a store that has two doors. Then you could keep one open and close one. Hoyla itzdaba, if that kenegah pischoi, that there's a chair in front of your store, so it's not directly open. Then you can keep your store open all day. You keep your store open because you can't walk into the store regular. So according to Rashi, the Gemara is teaching us that itztaba means that on Sheni, the halach is you're only allowed to open the store, open the door somewhat. Monday evening, says the Gemara, but if your store has not a regular opening, it has two openings, or has an itztaba, so then the Gemara is saying that even Monday, you could keep your door open the entire day. There are others that disagree, and they take a more stringent approach, and they're saying that even this halacha is only towards the end of the day, but not on the whole day. That on Monday, we cannot keep the store open completely. And the Rambam holds that this halacha that we just learned, that we're a little more lenient when there's two doors or there's an itztaba, is only on Thursday, but not on Monday. On Monday, the Rambam says, well, the only thing we're allowed to do is open the door slightly right before the night. We learned further in the Mishnah, Avra Elu V'loy Nenu, if all of these Taneisim passed and they still didn't have rain, we refrain from business, and Bebinyan from building, Umnatiya and planting trees. Tanya, so says the Braisa, when he speaks about building, it means Bebinyan Shal Simcha. It means building things that offer Simcha. And Natiya means Natiya Shal Simcha. And the Braisa right away explains, Ezu Binyan Shal Simcha, what is the definition of Binyan Shal Simcha? Ze Boina Beis Chasas Nabnoi. If they're building a home that when they used to marry off their first son, they used to build a home for him, and they used to make a chuppah there, that's where they made the wedding. Ezu Natiya Shal Simcha, what is the definition of a Natiya Shal Simcha? Ze Noteya Avanki Shemalochim. Rashi gives two pshatim. One is when a king had a son, they used to plant a tree, and the day that son ultimately became the king, they used to make a throne out of that wood. Another pshat is that they had a large tree, and that gave a lot of shade, and they used to sit under that tree, they used to have benches under that tree, and that's what's meant when Avanki Shamachim. So Rashi explained that a binyan shel simcha, that you made a binyan letzorech simcha. But what if it's not a binyan shel simcha? If it's a binyan that you need somewhere to live, the halacha is that it's mutter. The question is that the Paiskim discuss is what happens if you have a home, but you want to expand your home. You can manage in the home that you have, but you want to expand that. Is that in the category of binyan shel simcha because it's not absolutely necessary? Or since it's the home that you live in, it's going to be considered a binyan, it's not considered binyan shel simcha. Moreover, the Braisa, the Mishnah and the Braisa spoke about mematim v'masav v'matim. We curtail doing business. And here too, the question is, what is the definition when we say b'matan b'masav v'matan? Tosus in Masechta Yevamos says that when it says masav v'matan, it means all type of business. Even if it's not a business that involves simcha, every type of business should be curtailed. But Tosus in Masechta Megillah
says that no, it's only masa matan shel simcha, if it involves making a party, etc. But if somebody has a shop and he needs that business for his livelihood, Tosfos Masechet Megillah says, even though we're matan, masa matan, that would be mutter. We also learned that in the Mishnah, if the 13 Tanaisim passed and the rain still hasn't come, we refrain from Sheila Shalom. Tanar Abonim, Chaverim, ain't Sheila Shalom Klal. The Talmid HaChamim in such a situation don't greet each other at all. Ame'aretz Shalom, but if Ame'aretz greets a Talmid HaChamim, Machzirim Lehem, they should be responded to, but Sofer Rofa would quietly, because Rosh with a serious knee. And Vaivim Satvim, the Talmid Chacham during this period, sit with a talus on their head. And they sit like people who are in Avelis, to portray that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to avoid us. And they continue until HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Rachmanis. Until HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows us Rachmanis, and that's when they HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps them. And the Mefarshim explain who are these people. The people here we're speaking about are Talmid HaChamim, because Talmid HaChamim are the Yechidim that we've been learning throughout this Masechta that I have to take more responsibility. Amar Abelazar, Ein Adam Chosh V'Shoy Leipel Aponav, a great individual who is davening for the Tzibur should not fall. Elm Kainena Ki Yeshua Benun. Only like Yeshua Benun, who fell on his face and was answered when he went to war by the city of Ai. Shnam of Yom Hashem El Yeshua, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yeshua, Kumloch, you get up, Lomazad not to Neifel Apanecha, why have you fallen? But everyone else, not. So Rashi explains, only a person who is confident that he's going to be answered for this tefillah, like Yeshua ben Nun, has the right to daven. Rashi explains that it's not a question that you can be confident that you're going to be answered or not. It depends on who is the individual. If the individual is a great individual, like Yeshua ben Nun, that is known to everyone to be such a great person, he could do so. But if the person is not on that category, then he's not allowed to. The Ramban has that a different pshat. The Ramban says that somebody falling on the field of Sapayim under such circumstances, it looks like yura, it looks like arrogance. And only a person who could be certain that his tefillah is going to be answered is there no concern for yura. Everybody else, it is considered something that he shouldn't do. The Ritva has a different approach. He says that when somebody falls down the field of Sapayim, and we consider that person a great person, but he's not certain, and indeed his tefillah is not answered, that could cause that the tzibur, that the community will become very distraught, that we daven in such a way, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu still didn't bring the rain. And in order to avoid that type of feeling, that the tzibur should not have that type of experience, that they should feel that they're hopeless, the halach is that they shouldn't do nefil sapayim without, if they're not sure that they're going to be answered. Ve'amar v'lozer, enan mechosha roshoi lachu sak. They used to put sackcloth on their body. Elm kain nana ki yoram ben achav. Yoram ben achav, there was a hunger, and he put sackcloth. And the purpose of putting sackcloth is to show that we're like animals, we're hopeless. Shenema, v'hikishmaya melech as divrei isha, v'hikres begodov, v'oiv al-chayme v'yara on, v'hine sack al-b'soroi, and the hunger stopped. So if you can be certain that the hunger will stop, you may do so. Otherwise, don't do so. Om Rebbe Lozaloya kol b'kriya, not everyone should tear the begodim, v'loya kol b'nefila, and not everybody should do nefilas apayim. Moshe Aaron ben nefila, Moshe Aaron fell on their faces, Yeshua v'kalev were answered b'kriya. And the Gemara explains where. Moshe Aaron ben nefila, where do we see that when they fell on their faces, they were answered the ksiv? V'yibba Moshe v'Aaron al p'neim, Moshe v'Aaron fell, Yeshua v'kalev v'kriya, because the pasuk says, Yeshua ben Nun, the Kala ben Yefuna, Kara Begdeyim. So there are different madregas according to who you are. Maskula Rabbi Zeira, Vitaim Rabbi Shimon Nechenei, Ihava Yeshua. If the Pasuk says, would have said Yeshua without the Vav, Kere Amrit. Hashtag the Ksiv, Vi Yeshua. So says the Gemara, what he did was, Shkava Ha Ovid. He did Kriya and Nefila. So your statement that he only did Nefila, it's not something that I'm willing to accept. Amar Belozer, Lo Yakob Akima, not everybody is good. When Klai Yisrael is a Mitzshem going to be taken out of the Golos, Lo Yakob Akima, not everybody will be worthy that everybody will get up in their honor. V'lo Yakob Ashtachavoya, certainly not everybody will have covered that they will be bent down to. Hamalochim, the kings, will be honored with Kima. Sarim will be honored with Ashtachavoya. Malachim Kima. How do we know that the Malachim will have the honor of Kima being offered to them? The Ksiv, Koy Ama Hashem, Goy Yisrael Kedoy Shai. Levoy Zanefesh, Lemisav Goy, Levid Moshim, Malachim Yir of Kama. Even though now Klal Yisrael are very downtrodden, and we are ruled upon by servants, La'asod Lavoy, when the kings will see Klal Yisrael, they will get up in our honor. Sarim b'shtachavoya, and they will bend down to the Sarim, to the Ksiv, Sarim v'shtachvu. Maskul Rav Zeir, v'item Rav Shmuel b'nachmeni, Iyav v'ksiv, v'sarim v'shtachvu, if it said devav, to the karmid, hash the Ksiv, Sarim v'shtachvu, hova hova of it. The Sarim will get up, and also bend down. Both will happen at that time. Amar v'nachmeni, Yitzchak Afani Oymer, lo yakol lo'oyro, when Mashiach comes, not everybody will be zoicha to have that special or of Mashiach, and not everybody will have the special simcha that will happen when Mashiach comes. Tzadikim la'ira, tzadikim will be zoicha to the special or, the yisharim will be zoicha to the special simcha. Tzadikim la'ira, tzadikim will be zoicha to the special or that will come in the world when Mashiach comes. That will be, as the Pasuk says, or Zeruah LaTzadik. Yisharim will have Simcha, the Ksiv, as the Pasuk says, will Yishrei Lev Simcha. And the Ben Yoyada quotes what the Medrash says, and then the Medrash Shmuel quotes Ben Yoyana, Tzadikim who serve Hashem out of Yira, and a Yisharim, that, what's the difference between Tzadikim and Yisharim? Tzadikim are those who serve Hashem out of Yira, and Yisharim are those who serve Hashem out of Ahava. And we know that people who serve Hashem out of Ahava is a much greater madrega than people who serve Hashem out of Yira. And therefore, the people who serve Hashem out of Ahava will be zoicha to the higher madrega. They will be zoicha to Or. And the people who serve Hashem out of Yira will only have, will have Simcha. I saw another pshat that when there are two types of mitzvahs, there are people who do mitzvah, there are mitzvahs that there's no olam hazeh involved in those mitzvahs. And then there are mitzvahs that involve olam hazeh. When we eat a Sudas Shabbos, when we eat a Sudas Yontif, so even though it's a mitzvah, there's enjoyment in that as well. So the Gemara is saying like this. Somebody that is going to do all the mitzvahs, just loyal kol tayv, loyal kol simcha. Yontif is a chil of shtiyah. Somebody that does mitzvahs, but he enjoys them, will in the world to come also have simcha. Somebody who's in the higher madrega, that all he does is just does the rotzon Hashem, when Mashiach Tzidkenu comes, he will have oira, he'll have that special oira that we will enjoy, when Mashiach comes.